keeps on doing more than you expect. That's the way it always has been to me. It seems that he just keeps doing more than I expect. That's the reason why it says, now to him who is able to do exceeding and abundantly, above all that you can ask or think. See, you run out of stuff to ask for. What you ask for is small to God. So crank it up. That's all I want to let you know. Crank it up. I want to say once again a very hearty, happy Mother's Day to everyone. I know sometimes Mother's Day gives us mixed emotions. And it seems like the holiday has a greater impact. Now, I don't know if this is just me, but you can let me know if you agree or not. It seems like the Mother's Day celebration has a greater impact than Father's Day. Have y'all noticed that? Because you see a lot more emotional activity and the stores respond and all that. You know, they reduce Father's Day to a necktie and something like that, you know. And usually they say that thousands of calls are made on Mother's Day. And then on Father's Day, thousands are made and they're usually collected. And things are quite different sometimes on Father's Day than Mother's Day. And I guess that's because of just all that God did when he created a mother. And I know just even the discussion of it stirs up some emotions in us, particularly us whose mothers have gone on to be with the Lord. But I thank God for my mother, and I know she was in Christ, so that helps me a lot. And no matter how your mother was, this is something I want to say, God has a blessing for you in your relationship. Sometimes relationships with mothers are troubling. And so we need to talk about it, though, because there are some things that God has said in his word. And I think the word is a place of refuge. For me, it is. It's a place I can go in and get some peace in a troubling situation, no matter what's going on. All of us have been influenced by a mother. Somehow, even if you never knew her, she influenced you. Somehow she gave you physical form. You know, she allowed you to be here, whoever she is. Even if you didn't know her, if you had an awful relationship with her, or however it was, you know, however you want to look at it, but she blessed you in a sense that you are here. And you came into the world, and that's why Paul said that men have their birth of a woman. And God did that to give the woman something because of the situation that happened in the garden. And so, but we're going to talk about that just a little. So don't get uptight. I know sometimes it's a very touchy subject because we have such tender emotional relationships with mothers. But we want to talk about honoring motherhood in general today because it is a very, very noble institution that God set it up. He set it up. He designed it. And it's something essential to human existence. And that's why you see so many things militating against it today in our society. So many things militate against motherhood and just things in general. Anything that's normal or natural from God, you'll find those are the things that Satan and his minions and all the people who don't believe God militate toward those things to try to do damage. The very first and the thing that Satan has the most experience at is the destruction of marriage. Did you know that? He got more experience at that than anything. So we're just going to look today here briefly as we find a way to honor our mothers. We're taking a brief hiatus from our normal course of study just in honor of Mother's Day because it is a noteworthy day to celebrate. Amen. So we could talk about so many things just to show you the treatment that the Bible has given. There are many mothers in the Bible who are not even named. Did you know that? There's a whole lot of them. You don't even know their names at all. I did a little research. I'm not going to go along with this, but I want you to see that there was Cain's wife. That's all she's called. Seth's daughters, Enos's daughters. You know, they had to have a mother. Mahalalel's daughters and Jared's daughters, Enoch's daughters. Talks about all of them. These are women who begot children throughout the year. Shem's daughters, Ham and Japheth. Many of them are not named. People like Manoah's wife. She says Manoah's wife, it gives her credit for being a mother because of who she was, but does not give her name. So many times you see that, but that doesn't mean that the mother's not important. Mothers are always important because all people have their birth by their mother, and so it's a wonderful thing. Then you have other people. There are some people all through the Bible that you never know. Like Jesus said, remember Lot's wife, but we don't know her name. So many times we see these kind of things in the Word. But now there are some other mothers that are famous that we read about in the Word. And we're going to talk about a few of them, like Eve, of course, is called the mother of all living because she was the first one that God gave the gift of motherhood to and started off a chain of events that takes us all the way up to this very second, which militates entirely against the foolishness of evolution that doesn't exist. I always remind people, check everybody you know and see, do they have a belly button? If they do, you know what that means? It means they were born. They didn't evolve. They got a belly button. They were born. Okay? And that's all you ever seen. That's all I've ever seen. I've been around for almost 60 years. Some of y'all can say I've been here more. Some say, man, you old as dirt. But in either case, all you've ever seen is folks with belly buttons. Never seen an ape turn into a person. Don't believe that ever happened. I've seen some people act like some apes before, and I'm sure that happens, but that has nothing to do with it. That's another conversation. But in either case, we have Eve, and she is called the mother of all living. And we have Sarah, who was a mother in waiting. She was told she'd be a mother, but she had to wait for some time, you see, before she actually became one. Jochebed, the mother of Moses, was a mother of rescue. She was going to rescue her son from the hands of the evil Pharaoh. And Hannah, the mother with a vow. She had a vow. She made a vow to God, if you just let me have a child, then I'll turn him back over to you, Lord. He'll stay with you the rest of his days. His name was Samuel, very important. But the mother Hannah had enough finesse to pray and ask God to give me a son, because she was being provoked by another mother that was cohabitating with her husband, you see. Mary, the mother of Jesus. We could go on and on talking about the famous mothers of the Bible. Amen. But we're you know what? All mothers are famous to me. If you're a mother at all, you are a wonderful, famous person, because God has used you as an instrument to bring life into the world, even if he hasn't. Some people say, I don't have any kids, and I understand that's another whole emotional subject. But if he hasn't, you don't ever know what God will do, first of all, but you can trust him in whatever it is that you're going through. Now, the Bible does things like this to put emphasis on motherhood, and I'm just going to probably read the narrative. It's very short today. Because I want to just focus on this whole idea of honoring motherhood. Because mothers everywhere are important, even if they're with us or if they're not. God fixed it so that he enabled us to be delivered to the world for whatever our purpose is by way of a mother. And so I want you to understand here, even in the Ten Commandments, we go back and look at Exodus chapter 20, verses 11 and 12. It says, for in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and he rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. And then verse 12 says, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. See, so in honoring our father and our mother, and particularly our mother, here for today is our emphasis. God says, I promise, he gives a commandment with a promise attached to it. Now, sometimes we have to grapple with that in our head, because sometimes, as I mentioned, relationships with our mothers have not been what we might have liked for them to be. And sometimes they were, and they just were interrupted by whatever reason that they're not with us at this time. But we want to just think about what God has done and give honor to the institution of motherhood. And it's in the Ten Commandments, one of the greatest things, and the first commandment with a promise is what Paul tells us, looking at Ephesians 6 and 1. And when he says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, how many people are children or children of a parent? How many? All of them, right? So if it says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, see that? There's a whole thing. That speaks to me, even though I'm 60 almost, I'm 59, knocking on 60's door. You know, I have to give honor to my mother and to my parents. They allowed me to be here so that I can be here for you and do whatever I do for you. Or for anyone, my family, my daughters, my sons, the next generation that comes along. So this speaks to me. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Now, do you know I still think about stuff that my parents told me? Haven't talked to them for a long time, but I know what they would say. Sometimes I would love to talk with them, you know. But I know what they told me already, and the Lord will bring it up in my head from time to time. This is what your father would have said, or this is what your mother would have said, And I think about it, and it's a blessing to me. It has given me guidance, even though they haven't been with me for a while. So he says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth. Now, that's a promise connected to the very thing of me honoring my father and my mother. So many young people today try to override their parents, and I want to let you know that's the worst thing you could ever do. God says there's a blessing in you giving honor to your mother and your father. Whether they're, you know, I know there's a lot of shaky relationships, and we got the advent of the baby mama and all these kind of things we deal with today. But don't let that stop you from getting the greatest blessing that you can get from God. God loves you. He made it possible for you to be here. So you want to give honor to the institution of motherhood and fatherhood. Regardless, we'll talk about that on Father's Day. We won't go there today. But in either case, remember that your mother is a wonderful person, no matter how your relationship is with her. Sometimes I know relationships are strained, and there are a lot of different things that cause obstacles and barriers within relationships. But God has given this wonderful institution so that you and I can be here. He allowed us to be here through this process. And so I want you to see something here, and I'm just going to go right ahead and move through, since we have, I just wanted to select just those verses today to fuel your mind with what the scripture says in regard to honoring motherhood. So in a similar way to how we are first biologically with our fathers, and this is the kind of thing we want to look at, then we spend 9 additional months exclusively with our mothers. Have you thought of it that way? Biologically, you are with your father, and then you spend 9 months with your mother before you come into the world. That's a special closeness that God has given in the institution of motherhood. And then we are there exclusively with the mother, and there's connectivity in the flesh there with the mother. And our God, even after he had started all things, and all things were done in his creation, he rested, the Bible says, in response to the fact that it is not good that a man should be alone. He speaks that later on, Genesis 2:18a. He brought forth with honor the reality of motherhood as a solution for this deficiency in man. Man has a deficiency without the woman. It's not good that he should be alone. See, and God's answer to that was the woman, to bring her forth, and he set the whole process of motherhood into motion at that time, because Adam had no way to reproduce himself. And all of this is before sin. That really always blows me away. Those of you who study with us, you know, we talk about that all the time. Genesis 2, there is no sin yet. Boy, that's powerful. It's a powerful thing. I don't know if you ever thought about it. In Genesis 2, there's no sin. Man doesn't fall till Genesis 3. But in Genesis 2:18a, the Bible says in the King James translation that that it's not good that the man should be alone. Wow, boy, that's powerful. You need to meditate on that. I put that in my head and think over it time and time again, because that says there was a deficiency in mankind that needed to be fulfilled, and God's solution for that deficiency was a woman. And that process set birth in progress, and that's how we all got here. Eventually, a man would have been alone had there been no way for him to reproduce. You see that? And so that's a very deep thing. That's why I think our ties and our connections with our mothers are so much more emotional sometimes than even with our dads. Okay, so for that reason, he brought forth this woman in order to have a solution for the deficiency that man, speaking specifically of Adam, and he produced this highly honorable institution that we know as motherhood that we're talking about today. We want to give honor to. So this excerpt from Exodus that we read within the book of the law, as the law of Moses, states the importance to all people to honor this extremely beautiful biological, emotional, and even spiritual relationship known as motherhood. And it is the first commandment with promise, Paul says. It has a promise attached to it, as stated by the Apostle Paul in the New Testament, to always be held in highest esteem among people, especially the saved. Now, lost people don't listen to God so much. They don't have a relationship with God. They don't think they need to, and they don't see the deficiency in their life. People who are saved understand that what God says is real. And I need to listen carefully to it, and if I obey it, God says, I'll bless you. He promises to bless those who listen to what he says and do what he says. He says, if you love me, keep my commandments. See? So we go around, a lot of people, I hear people say this all the time, oh, I know I'm doing wrong, but God knows my heart. I say, yes, he does. He sure does. He knows your heart is dirty, is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked. Who can understand it? He says the heart is filled with all kinds of wickedness and all that. And out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. God has a lot to say about our heart. Yeah, he does know it. You know, but that doesn't mean it's okay if we're into stuff that's not right. And God wants to cleanse your heart. He's the only one that's able to do that. And so it cost him a great deal. And he said, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and the two shall be one flesh. Now, and you know what? That's really profound. You learn more profound things about what God says about every human relationship the more you study his word. And he wants you to know it. And he's the only one who can open up your mind to cause you to see stuff that's been sitting in your face all your life. And you look and you go, wow, boy, just could have had a V8. You know, it hits you. And all of a sudden, you know, because God wants you to understand. You know what? The people who understand have the most peace. If you got troubles and you let stuff rock your boat and you get all upset and nervous and come undone, if you start to walk with God, you'll be more solid in everything you do. You know, and motherhood is that kind of thing. The mothers have some kind of an emotional connection most of the time. Let's say in the average mother, they feed into their kids. They nurture. They have a spirit of to nurture and develop, and they always want the best for their kids. Now, I know all mothers don't fit this same pattern. I understand that. But even if you don't have the person that is your physical, biological mother, and I said this to some single people, and I always like them to realize motherhood doesn't mean necessarily in the case of that you have a physical child. You know what? The Bible says that which is born of the flesh is flesh, but that which is born of the spirit is spirit. You can have a spiritual relationship with someone. It doesn't even have to be that you're their physical, biological mother. You know, and the Bible even talks about the daughters of Sarah. How many daughters does Sarah have in the Bible? Huh? Any? Did she have any? None. She had one son, didn't she? Sarah had Isaac. So the daughters of Sarah, wait a minute now. How are you going to say that, Peter? The daughters of Sarah? Yeah, they're spiritual daughters. See? And she mothered a whole lot of people spiritually. You know? So Sarah has daughters. Oh, wow. Okay, she's got daughters, but they didn't come from her body. They come from their relationship with God that she impacted for them. See? And so you can be a mother, even if you're not physically a mother. You can teach someone else what mothers would do. You can stand in the gap for a person. I bet you a lot of you have done that, even if you don't have kids. You stood in the gap for someone else whose mother may have not have been what she should have been. And you can always do that. That's a wonderful thing. So the whole institution of motherhood is not strictly physical, although the physical side of it is a beautiful thing, but it's also spiritual, something I want you to understand today. You can be a spiritual mother, or you may have been mothered by someone spiritually. You know, and I noticed my wife, she received cards from someone who was a good friend of the family that still acknowledges her, and she's always in her life to minister something to her. You know, every year she gets a card from a person that's not really her mother, you know, and people do that. They take up the gap and fill in that space. Our mothers may be gone. Sometimes we misunderstand that, too. But, you know, we all have a mission here on earth. And God loves us, and he wants us to see what is our mission. Why are we here? You know, that's a question I've been asking. Why am I here? Although I've been getting the answer. The answer comes out of his word. God always wants to have a relationship with you. And he wants you to be able to take from his word. And when you do, it's going to build you up and make you to the person he wants you to be. It's going to guide you through life. It's going to be with you in times of trouble. That's what it says in Psalm 91. I'll be with you in trouble. You know, God says, even though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, there might be some foreboding stuff coming into your life. He says that I shall fear no evil, David says, because thou art with me. See, so God is there. He wants to do that, and motherhood is one of the things that he has given for us to acknowledge that. So what I want you to see here is one of the greatest factors of offering such honor to the very institution of motherhood as commanded and backed up with a promise from God of long life upon the earth is to extend this right attitude regardless of any surrounding circumstances, good, bad, or ugly, no matter what you're going through with your mom. Whether it be good, bad, or ugly, or indifferent, we have all of those kind of things. be grateful to God that this is His marvelous creation to bless mankind and to alleviate loneliness from man. And just for this fact that we should give praise to God and live honoring motherhood. We want to honor motherhood all the time because it is a great thing. It's a wonderful thing. So no matter what you're going through, remember that God loves you. And think about what happened. Now, one of the mothers that strikes me as the most amazing of all the mothers that I read about in the Word is Mary, the mother of Jesus. She was a mother that God had promised, even when He spoke to the serpent after sin came in and cursed the world. You know, He said to the serpent, "On your belly shalt you go, and dust shalt you eat all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman." See? "And between thy seed and her seed." Like, wow, what did he say? The devil didn't get it. He didn't understand that. And so Paul says in the book of Galatians, chapter 4, verse 4, "When the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman." Wow, that jumps off the page. Not out of a man, but out of a woman. That's what he promised in Genesis 3:15. He was made of a woman. He was born under the law. And he came to deliver me and you and the whole world who trust and believe in him from the curse of the law. Now, do you know the law is a curse to everyone because we don't keep it all? If we could keep it all, it wouldn't be a curse to us. But the Bible says he was guilty in one point of the law is guilty of the whole law. In other words, if we break the smallest of the commandments, let's just pick one. If I say you shall not lie, if I ask for a show of hands, how many have not lied? I get the same thing every time I ask. So that one lie is enough sin to throw us all into hell. See? So if you break one, you're guilty of the whole law. So the law is a curse. I've never seen a hand go up when I've asked that question. I've asked thousands of people. You know, I didn't even get to the hard stuff. I'm on the easy stuff now, we call it. And we even talk about a little white lie. And we say, oh, that was just a little white lie. Oh, you said it was white. You know, but how did God see it? You know, I'm talking about a little white lie. But the fact is, the Bible says if you break God's law at one point, you're guilty of the whole law. And so therefore, that's why the law can't save us. And that's why it was necessary for Jesus to be born and be born only of a woman, because by doing that, he had no sin. None of Adam's blood was in his bloodstream. The design of a woman prevents that. And God knew that when he made Eve. He made her so she did not share in the bloodstream of the child. So when Jesus was born, he came in the world with a physical body, which was given to him by his mother and the Holy Spirit, not by Adam. Therefore, he was without sin. And then he lived a spotless life, kept all of God's commandments. No deceit was in his mouth. That means he never told a lie. And then he gave his life as a ransom for your sin and mine. In other words, to pay the debt that you and I owe. And so he was crucified. Mary's baby was crucified on the cross. Now imagine the turmoil that she went through, because out of all the people that were in the world, she knew she had never touched a man. And she knew she was with child. She knew the angel Gabriel promised her she would be with child of the Holy Spirit. And she knew that Jesus was born and Joseph had never touched her nor any other man in a sexual way. You see? And so therefore she knew something was special about Jesus. When she asked him to turn to help with the situation with the wine at the wedding at Cana of Galilee in John chapter 2, she knew he could do it. And he did. He turned water into wine. That was the first of his miracles. Even before it was his time, his hour had not yet come, he said. But Mary knew all these things, and the Bible keeps saying she pondered them in her heart every time a new, deeper level of Jesus came to her mind. She was even concerned and worried about him when he went and preached and people were plotting to kill him. And she heard the scuttlebutt going around town, how they were plotting to kill my son. And she went and told him, just stop all this preaching and come home, Jesus, with his other half-brothers and sisters. And he says, they told him, oh, your mother and your brothers are outside. Don't you want to get going? He said, well, who is my mother and who are my brothers and who is my sister? He said, those who hear the word in God, the word of God, and keep it. See, that's the spiritual relationship we're talking about. So he wasn't denying that she was physically his mother, but he said, I'm talking to the people who believe God, who believe his word. These are my mother, my brother, and my sister. See, so there is a spiritual family connection there. And so basically, imagine the turmoil when all of the people who said they were his friends, all those disciples, except John, stood there at the cross as Jesus was crucified. And Mary right there, heartbroken, unable to help her son. Imagine the anguish in her soul. Simeon had prophesied when she took him to the temple at 8 days old to be circumcised according to the law of Moses. In the book of Luke, he said that this child was set for the rising and falling of many in Israel, and in a sword shall pierce through your very soul because of him. See, that many imaginations of your heart, of many hearts may be revealed. She heard that, she didn't understand it, since she was at the cross and saw her son escalated on the cross, lifted up between heaven and earth, hanging there, to dying for the sin of the world. Unimaginable to perceive. I can't imagine the anguish of her soul. But she stood there. And she watched this spectacle of her own son being crucified. God knows it was probably like a sword piercing right through her soul. And so basically we find she is one of the, she held on, is what I want to say, even though that was very heartbreaking to her. She held on because she was with the 120 on the day of Pentecost in the book of Acts chapter 2 after Jesus had risen from the dead and been seen among many witnesses for 40 days. And she was there when the Holy Spirit came down on the 50th day, which is Pentecost, with the 120 in the upper room. And so she got to understand what the church was about and what her son had come to accomplish. And he did this not just for the Jews, but for you and me. Jesus came to pay your bill entirely. Whatever you owe God, he paid it by himself. He's the only one that earned salvation for whosoever believes in him. And so what you could do today, the Bible says, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. For that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I say it unto you. You must be born from above, John is saying there. To be born from above means I trust and believe God, that he gave his son, Jesus Christ, to be crucified for my sins, and that he raised him from the dead to prove that he had accomplished satisfaction for God. He's the only one that ever satisfied God. And he didn't do it necessarily. He did it for himself because the Bible says it was for the joy that was set before him that he endured the cross, despising the shame. What a scandalous thing that was, the cross, that he would be crucified. But it was not a thing that took him by surprise. It was a thing he had prophesied throughout the years. And he did that so that whosoever believes in him would not perish, but would have everlasting life. Saved a dying thief on the cross. As he was checking out, he said, today, Lord, when you enter your kingdom, please remember me. Jesus said, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. He would like to save you today. If you're not saved, you should trust Christ today. Mother's Day is a good day. I think it was really on a Mother's Day that God got my attention a long time ago when I was out in the world acting up, doing crazy stuff. He finally showed me the craziness is not going to get you anywhere. He allowed me to come to that conclusion by myself after the trouble I got myself into. And so I stopped the craziness, but I didn't go to church. And then on Mother's Day, my wife took the daughters and went to church, and I went and heard one message from God. And that message was enough. It convicted me. I got up and got back in the church, and I've been in the church ever since. It happened on a Mother's Day. So let me say Mother's Day is a good day for you to be saved. If you're here today and you are not saved, you ought to be saved. You should be born from above. God says, I give you the grace to know for sure that you are saved. And if you trust in me and believe that God raised Jesus from the dead, you shall be saved. So I want to offer that opportunity to you today. If you have not been saved, you ought to be. God loves you just like you are. You can't save yourself, but he's willing to save you. He wants to save you, and if you're not saved, you ought to be. And I'm asking today, if you're here today and you have not trusted Christ for the forgiveness of your sin, I'm going to ask everyone to stand at this time if you're able. If you're able, take a stand, and we're going to say a word of prayer. It's a private, personal thing that God wants to give you birth from above. Lord God, we bless you, we praise you, we thank you for your word, thank you for your son. Thank you for the institution of motherhood that made a delivery for him to come into the world without sin possible. And so, Father, we praise you for that kind of wisdom. It's just mind-blowing, the wisdom of God, that every woman was made that way, every time.
And Father, you did that all the way to the beginning because it was not good that man should be alone. And so today, God, if anybody is trusting Christ and believing that you raised him from the dead, which is the message you call the gospel, good news, we pray you fill them right now where they are. Let the birth from above come over them right now, Lord. Fill their hearts, oh God, with faith to believe in Jesus Christ and to see that he is the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father but by him. But today, God, they come by faith. So we ask you, God, fill them with that faith that they need to trust and believe from this time even forward that they might be born again. Oh, God, we thank you for Jerusalem above, who is the mother of us all. And Father, we bless you. We give you praise. We ask you to save every soul today. Wash the rest of us, oh God, who are in Christ already, afresh in the blood of Jesus. Lord, help us to understand how beautiful that connection is. Lord God, we thank you for all that you have done for us. Bless every home, every family that's represented here, Lord, and especially every mother who is in the house today. Oh God, give them sufficient grace, Lord, to have a beautiful celebration today as they celebrate the wonderful institution of motherhood. We thank you for giving us this privilege of honoring motherhood, and we do that right now, God, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Go ahead and give God a big hand praise. Thank you, Lord. Amen. If you're here today and you are seeking church membership, we want to offer that to you as well. We ask you to come at this time if you are not a member of a church and would like to. Or you may be a member of a church. Maybe you just want to be a member of St. Timothy. We welcome you to come so that we can extend your membership and your disciples.